Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission Radio Show. So thank you for joining us today. It is January 5th, 2017, and I had scheduled on with us a guest that's about to have an art show. Tom Ackerman is going to have an art show starting tomorrow. It's going to be up in Canada, and it's actually really focused on Fukushima. Let me read to you. Let me see if I can find something on it. It's called Thomas Ackerman, Age of Fission Paintings at the R.W. Lawton Gallery behind the Imperial Theater box office, 168 Christina Street, Sarnia. That's in Sarnia, Ontario. January 6th through the 31st, opening Friday, January 6th, artist present 7 to 8 p.m. And that will be Tom Ackerman's art show with it regarding the Age of Fission paintings. And as I don't know if many of you know this, but Tom's career really took kind of a nosedive when he got involved in fighting this. None of the galleries would even talk to him. I mean, it was really pretty bad. So we had talked about him being on the show, and something must have come up because he's always there. He was not around this morning, and I don't have his personal number, so it's us winging it. That's really essentially it. So if anybody wants to call in, this is probably what's going to happen, because for some reason, when I call into this, when I get on the radio show, my Skype interface does not work. Like, you can call me, but I can't answer it. However, if you call in, I'll note your number, and I'll call you right back. Because that's the only way I can connect people is if I call you. It's an odd. We haven't figured it out. Skype says there is no reason. We've uninstalled Skype, reinstalled Skype. But the phone number is 718-717-8106. I even got a different phone number to see if that would make it work. It did not, but it did give me a phone number that's similar to the radio station show. So Jules doesn't ever have to turn it on my show. So you can give me a call at 718-717-8106. And I thought what I'd do, kind of in the quick of it all, was go back to really the primary source of what we're doing here, the NRC alerts. This is the thing. Yesterday I did an interview with Chris Busby that it will be airing in a few weeks. It was really an interesting interview because it gave me a mind's eye into the, quote, establishment truth nukers. I hate to call us anti-nukers, but truth nukers here, and how they view the science and how they view Fukushima. I'll let you hear it from Chris. The interview was pretty kind of hard-hitting. one of the things that we discussed is really the social engineering of it all, how it all belongs to the military, how it's all, we're all sort of being designed to just ignore it all. And this is exactly what they do. There was an event at Oyster Creek. I'll spare you the non-emergency for the medical underdose, the non-emergency for a leaking Krypton 85 source. That's a non-emergency. This is the interesting thing about the NRC. A non-emergency is, unless it's so catastrophic it's going to kill millions or hundreds of thousands of people, it's not an emergency. It's unbelievable. They don't care how much gets leaked out. Fortunately, I'm constantly reading on this stuff, and I'll share with you a story that I pulled up the other day off of the news that has since disappeared in this regard. Another medical underdose, a possible at Oyster Creek emergency, ASMT, that means it's a possible emergency. Loss of technical support center ventilation system. That happened when, folks? That happened on December 29th. And so today they're telling us, what date was this one that I pulled up? I think it was January 3rd. So right after January 3rd, their first report said, update, it says the maintenance is complete. The TSE ventilation system has been restored to normal operation. So essentially what they did was they opened up some ventilation to clean it, and it's just been spewing loss of technical support. Perry, Ohio, potential mitigation. Potential unable to safe SD, accident mitigation. So the way they write this is so annoying. This also happened on December 30th. The event date was the 28th, and notification date was the 30th. Let's see what this says. Loss of safety function, accident mitigation. Loss of safety function due to two inoperable standby liquid control subsystems. So this is where in Ohio, Perry, Ohio. I can't read it, honestly. It makes me sick. They have no regard for human life whatsoever. And here's another one in Salem, New Jersey. Fitness for duty. Positive for alcohol. Yeah, well, I'd be drinking too if I was those people working there. Actually, I don't know how people can work there. It's beyond control for me. It's unbelievable. Here's a non-emergency. Maine Radiation Control Program. Non-emergency. Medical event involving the wrong treatment. How'd you like that, folks? Going in for the wrong treatment. Fitzpatrick, New York, potential uncontrollable rad release. This was on a date of event is 11-2. And this was the retraction. This is what they said. So it happened on 11-2. In accordance with technical specification, primary containment isolation valves, the TS basis states that one or more barriers are provided for each penetration so that no single credible failure or malfunction of an active component can result in the loss of isolation leakage. Isolation or leakage that exceeds limits assumed in the safety analyses. Listen to their language. Assumed in the safety analysis. They assume it. You know what assuming does? Makes an ass of me, makes an ass of you. When two or more barriers are provided, one of these barriers may be a closed system. During the event, one of the barriers in the penetration became inoperable. This is infuriating. Finally, the primary containment is with a closed system and with a completion time of TS 3.6.1.3. The valve was restored to operable prior to exceeding this time. Wow, just in the nick of time. So when is it going to happen that it's not in the nick of time, and will they tell us? I'm still waiting to hear about the scram from the Columbia Generating Station, what happened with that. I have not seen it. There was a scram. They'll report it in a month from now. Oh, not urgent. Another medical event I mean, this is another medical event, wrong treatment. They have to report if they get, if you're in cancer treatment and they give you the wrong treatment, they have to report it. Unbelievable. Loss of tritium signs, California. Let's see, is that NBC radio? What was this? NBC Universal, California Radiation Control Program. NBC Universal is the licensee. Wow, lost tritium signs. So I guess if you get a stop sign, you have to have a license. Okay. This event has been retracted. U.S. Army Chemical, Biological, and Radiological Nuclear School, Region 3, Leonard Wood, Missouri. Poor Missourians, man. Those people are fried. It's unbelievable. At 1300 on December 15th, during a survey, removable contamination above 1000 DPM was identified in a normally controlled and restricted area. Blah, blah. Retraction. Since this notification, we have confirmed the source of contamination as cracked vial containing cobalt 60. Calculations of the current activity of the source and associated exposure levels were sent to the NRC region number 3. We also determined the total amount of cobalt 60 was less than the annual limit for the intake for ingestion. So they give us an ingestion, an annual limit for ingestion. How good of them. This is unbelievable, folks. Let me see if I can add Tom in. I noticed that he's here. Let's see if he's here. Do. We're ringing Tom Ackerman, and hopefully he will answer, and he will be on with us. Takes a few minutes when I give somebody a call, but let's see if he'll answer. Okay. Tommy, answer your phone. I hope he will get on. I'd love to share with you Tom's philosophy about conscience and not a conscience and doing the right thing. So I'm going to send him a message. He is not there, so not on the phone. Let me try him one more time. Hold on just one second. I sent him a little message. I'll hang on there. NRC event notification. Back to the NRC event notification, folks, because this is, oh, you know what I did want to do? I remembered that I wanted to do this the next time we had some time to talk when I didn't have a guest on the air, is I want to talk about these public involvement and public involvement meetings and made for comments, because there's a whole bunch of them available on the docket and the periods are open. The thing is, when you go to this page, you really have to scroll down because they have them set up in different categories, like rulemaking related documents, license applications and amendments, generic communications, there's nothing there, draft regulatory guidelines for public comment. So what are they doing? Draft regulatory. The NRC issues regulatory guides in draft form to solicit public comment and involve the public in developing the agency's regulatory positions. Donna Gilmore says it is extremely effective for us to contact them and make these comments. Draft regulatory guides have not received complete staff review and therefore do not represent official NRC positions. Okay. So these are the throwaways, I guess. Draft new reg series publications. The following new reg series documents have been issued for public comment and noticed in the Federal Register. So I guess that has had full draft review. And then policy statements. There's no policy statements, draft interim guidance, nothing there. Oh, there's even one more. Information collection. The following information collections have been issued for public comment and noticed in the Federal Review. Let me see if Tom's back. Let me see if I can give Tom a call. I really want to talk to Tom. I'm going to go back to this, but I'm hoping that he'll be able to speak with us. So I'm going to see if he's around. So let's see if we can get Tom on. I know he has his show tomorrow. Maybe something came up where his show starts tomorrow, and maybe something came up so that he's unable to actually speak with us as planned. I had a super busy day yesterday. It felt like I had 2 days in one, to be honest. So really amazing. I love those kind of days where you have like lots of days. Well, I don't think he's gonna answer. I think he's gonna have to not be there. He's not there. So we'll go back to reading this hideous information from the NRC. You know, folks, we are our own line of defense here. The only way that we're going to really change how the NRC works is for us to actually get engaged in this. Information collection, NRC Form 366, 366A, 366B, licensee event report. That's NRC docket 2016-0016. So they have another information collection form, NRC Certificate of Disposable of Material. NRC information on collection, reporting of defects and noncompliance, and information collection request for NRC contract building access, request for NRC contractor information technology access authorization, and NRC request for NRC contractor security clearance. So let's go to this one. Let's actually look at this. Reporting on defects and noncompliance. Let's look what else is in here. Because they tell us, they're not actually lying to us. They do tell us a lot of what's going on. So, under draft new reg series publications, the following new reg series documents have been issued for public comment and notice in the Federal Register. The first one is NRC 213-0235. Oh, that period of comment closed. That was 2016. The next one also closed. Wow. Okay. Let's see. The next one that's open for licensing is program-specific guidance about possession licenses for production of radioactive material using an accelerator. And then the next one they have is consolidated guidance about material license, program-specific guidance about medical use licenses. And then this one, the comment is closed on 12/31/2018. Knowledge and Abilities Catalog for Nuclear Power Plant Operators, Advanced Boiling Water Reactors. I bet you that's those little tiny reactors they're talking about, 2018. We'll come back to it if we have a chance. Draft Regulatory Guides for Public Comment. The NRC regular issues regulatory guides in draft form to solicit public comment and involve the public in developing the agency's regulatory positions. Draft regulatory guides have not received complete staff review. This is the one that they don't have complete staff review, which means screw you. The first one they're talking about is pressurized water reactor control rod ejection and boiling water reactor control rod drop accidents. The next one that they have, and these are all closed on 2/21/2017. Hello?
Hello.
Hey, Tom joined us. My Skype answered automatically. So I guess if you have Skype, you can actually get through. So yay.
Yay, are you making progress on your Skype troubles?
Yeah, I think so, Tom. I mean, I think so. You did answer. Welcome to the show. I really
Oh,
appreciate you
of
being. You
course.
totally forgot that we're on the show today. You thought we were just talking.
Oh my God. Hello.
Well,
Hello.
I did give your show a plug. I went to you sent me the announcement. I called you at 8 o'clock and you weren't around, and so I said, "Well, let's just something must have come up with the preparation of the show." How is that going?
Yes, I'm kind of hectic today. I'm trying to do finalize things. I have to do a lot of the stuff myself because this is an independent gallery that doesn't really have anybody working there per se. They're volunteers, so it ends up I have to do a bunch of stuff.
And didn't you tell me that they had some funny rules about you couldn't put holes in the wall? An art gallery that didn't want you to put holes in the wall?
That's right. Actually, I solved that problem because one of the paintings was a very good-looking painting. They thought that wasn't going to go in, and they said, "Ah, we'll make an allowance for that hole in the wall thing on this painting. So I got them all in and the holes in the wall.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got them in, and I quite like the show. It's a small show, but I quite like it.
Great, great. And what kind of, why don't you tell people how far it is, say, from another city where people might be able to come in and see
An hour from Detroit.
Ah, okay, that's a big one. An hour from Detroit, that's it. So it's right there.
Yes, it's about, it's on the other side of Port Huron. Port Huron is the border town of Sarnia, the sister city, brother city. And I think Port Huron is about, I've done Port Huron in about an hour.
Wow. Well, yeah. That's cool. So you're right next to the state, so anybody in that area can actually come and see you.
Exactly. And there are actually collectors in Troy, several in Troy, and Birmingham, I think, is part of Detroit, or Birmingham.
Yes,
I'm actually quite excited, Lonnie, because I had not expected this town to come through for me, because I've been blacklisted. I just had an article written on this show, and there is stuff already happening. People are saying, how dare you not exhibit this artist in the museum? So people
Bravo.
Are speaking up. Yes, it's a good turn of events. I wasn't very optimistic. I didn't have a lot of expectations. But I think there is, people are fundamentally good people. I don't have a problem with people generally. It's just that it kind of gets misdirected in this sort of superstructure of our society. You know, I call this our culture of death, because they do everything contrary to our nature. It's like everything that we seem to be doing is contrary to what we really want to do. Like, we live in constricted areas, confined sort of living situations and cities. It's all the opposite, what I feel, of what we really need to be doing. So,
or who we really are. That's really the issue, is really who we really are. I mean, that's what I think. I've actually been really sort of thinking about the future and what it means. I had a really great interview with Dr. Busby yesterday that I'll be airing. Excuse me. And it was very interesting. I talked to him about the death of the Pacific Ocean. When I suggested that nuclear pollution, because he said that the radiation from Fukushima has dramatically reduced from those first early days. It's like much less than it used to be, just from the nature of it burning off. It's less radiation. So, yes, it's ongoing, but it's not that high level. And he said, with the size of the ocean, we've heard this before. And I'm like, but wait a minute. What about this? He had not thought of this. This was interesting. This is how one-sided people go when they get into this thought. He hadn't ever heard this theory that my theory is that the nuclear pollution is not so dramatic that it's killing all life on the planet, but it's affecting the microorganisms that are necessary for the health of the ocean. So the ocean can't – I think it's dramatically increasing the global warming issue. I don't think we can separate the nuclear thing. And he thought about that and posited. He's like, well, that's a pretty interesting theory. It's quite possible. That is actually a possibility.
Lonnie, it's not a theory, because there is a fellow called Timothy Mousseau, who's an entomologist, who went into Chernobyl and found there was no microbiological life forms. Like, the small life forms have disappeared. So things are not organically decomposing, because you need these life forms, these tiny creatures that gnaw away at our substances to kind of recycle everything. And then when they're gone, we're done. If they're gone, we're done. So you're absolutely correct with that estimation, that the microbiology in the ocean plankton is seriously affected.
Yes. And the other thing is, really, when we think about it, this was also what we discussed, the contamination that happened during the nuclear testing after World War II was so catastrophic beyond anything that anybody could even – that they've ever admitted. And that's what I said, like, how can it not affect the environment? How can we possibly bomb our environment for 10 years straight, 15 years straight, nonstop, the Cold War, we bombed the daylights out of our environment with the most toxic substance. How can that not be contributing to the warming and the destruction of our environment today.
So, well, Lon, what's curious to me also is why are we actually having this discussion about the dangers of nuclear radiation and the particles?
That's exactly what I said to him.
You see, here we are, you and I, and we're reiterating this over and over and over, and people are saying, well, because they're saying it so much, it's probably not true. The fact is, unequivocally, nuclear radiation kills. There is no doubt about it. It's been proven. You're reading your Goffman books, and it's proven. It's not a theory. Gilmedy, you know, these people that have proven that radiation kills.
On top of that, it's the idea from cradle to grave, you know, like from the waste. When they talk about, oh, it's the waste, it's not waste. There's nothing to do with it. It's a byproduct that's toxic that they have no answer to. It's not waste. Waste is an interesting term because it makes you think it's something you can put in the trash and bear, you know, like it'll be all okay. No, it's not all okay. It's a byproduct that sticks around for hundreds of thousands of years. That's the amazing part of it.
It doesn't go away.
And it harms everything that it comes in contact with.
And
there's nothing that thrives.
There's no off switch.
Right.
A coal-powered plant has an off switch. When you don't like that stuff coming out, the fly ash, you just shut it off. You close it down. How do you shut down a nuclear chain reaction? It doesn't work.
Well, even if you don't have a chain reaction, look at San Onofre. It's a huge mess out there. They have containers and they have shut it down, but the aftermath of shutting down a nuclear reactor, Zion. Look at Zion. It's right on the Illinois, on the Great Lakes in Illinois. It's a Zion nuclear power plant. The rate of childhood genetic diseases is off the charts near Zion. I know that because I had a client of mine who had some pretty attention deficit and some serious problems with her child. Their family couldn't figure out. And I'm like, well, you're right next door to Zion. Like, move away. She's like, oh, no. That could not possibly be. That's the amazing part about it is people wanting to hang on to the normalcy. People
but
want
isn't it
to
true, though, Lonnie, that as far as I understand it, even when it supposedly a reactor is shut down, the chain reaction doesn't stop just because the reactor shut down. The fuel rods are still in that process of creating more isotopes. As the neutrons bombard anything that is around it, it keeps on splitting. This is the anomaly of this weird process that exists nowhere else in the rest of the cosmos. Even Michio Kaku admitted this and said that as far as smart science is concerned, this fission, nuclear fission, is only something we see on Earth. And there was apparently this natural occurring reactor called in Oklo Gabon. I don't know. I get a lot of people talking to me about Oklo Gabon. Have you heard of that reactor, the natural fission reactor? Okay, here's the scoop on this, that apparently 2.1 or some billion years ago. Now, get this, Lonnie. I love it when they come up with the 2 billion years
ago. Oh, you're talking about that nuclear reactor they found in antiquity that they dusted off and said, wow, this looks like a nuclear reactor.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Yeah. Oh, the conditions, for some miraculous reason, were just perfectly right to create a nuclear fission reactor the way we have it now, supposedly, in these man-built plants. Now, here's the anomaly in my mind. I mean, people can't remember their shopping list from yesterday almost. And they're going to tell us what happened 2.1 billion years ago, right? We're supposed to believe, science tells us, and I see your sign in the background, when science lies, people die. Anyway, my argument with people is, let's get real about this. And whatever we're being told, how the reality was 2.1 billion years ago, I honestly, I have doubts, grave doubts, that anybody really knows what happened that long ago on this planet. So for a fission reaction to occur the way they happen in these reactors, it would have to be like, an analogy I'll give is, if you have a tornado and it sweeps through a junkyard, and at the end of the tornado, the chances are that you're going to have a completely built 747 with food trays ready to go for people on this plane, right? It's like the chance that this would occur naturally, the way they say, is like a billion trillion to one. I mean, I don't know how they justify their mental process here.
Well, the article that you read, the article that I read about that nuclear reactor said they estimated it to be 275,000 years old.
2.1 billion.
That's what you read? Now, I read 275.
Okay.
So here you go. That's the facts in reporting. You know what I mean? Like, who knows what's what? Because
throw up your hands. Yes. Anything to justify what we're doing, right?
Well, I think what this speaks to, I don't know who's telling the truth, but for me, it allowed me to tie it in a little bow. So this is where the misconception in reporting, this gets into that conversation about misinformation, right? Because I Googled like the last, I went to look at the last die-off, right? It was about 280,000 years ago. So that was like a neat little tidy little bow for me to buy their line of crap. Just like Michio Kaku. I asked Chris Busby about this. Michio Kaku on Democracy Now! On December 16th said that Fukushima has not produced near as much, only 10% of the nuclear radiation as Chernobyl.
Wow. Incredible.
And Chris Busby said that's completely incorrect. He said it's about the same. And I'm like, well, how can three? And I asked him, how can three nuclear reactors produce about the same as Chernobyl? He's like, well, let's put it to you. I said, we saw it explode. He's like, well, let's be clear. We didn't see what happened at Chernobyl, did we?
Okay.
He's like, it is a big.
What about the 30 million? How about the 30 million one-ton bags that are lined up from all the waste that they had to collect?
Well, then that's them compounding the catastrophe. That's the issue. It's them compounding it. You know what I mean? Like, and them burning it. This is the other part. Them burning it. It's unbelievable. It's they're burning the waste.
It's
not going to be televised. That's what the nuclear meltdown is not going to be televised. They're not going to tell us until it's way too late. That's the issue.
Now, I don't know whether I should raise this, but I know that you're what you want to do is bring people together on this, right? You don't want to divide, right? So
no.
I understand that I've had some exchanges with Dr. Busby. I challenged him on the idea that the ocean cannot be affected way back when in 2012 or late 2012. And he kind of chuckled at me. And of course, I'm not a scientist. I'm just a lowly painter. I make paintings. Like all those people in the past that, you know, what is the most incredible work ever produced in our history is the honest history done by painters. And if you look back in art history, you had Michelangelo arguing with the Pope to defend his work. And I see myself in the same way. I make a painting based on an intuitive process that I've always adhered to, and I'm going to defend my work. And I say, I believe, I have to say, because I'm not a scientist, I believe that if three nuclear reactors go into total melt-out, melt-through meltdowns, there's going to be an effect. Something is going to happen. This is not like,
I actually think that the idea that it's really affecting the microorganism and is destroying the environment, it's at a smaller level. It's not like there's enough. See, this is where we're getting into this conflict. It's not that there's enough nuclear pollution to, well, the idea, the concept that the solution to pollution is dilution is completely false.
Yes.
It's completely false. So we're pouring something in there, and it is diluting in the Pacific Ocean. This was one of the things we discussed.
I would say dispersing, not dilute, dispersing.
Yes. But we don't have, we're talking about catastrophic events. It may not, I don't actually believe that we're going to be dropping off like flies right now. I think it's going to impede our way of life and our health. Slowly, it'll be death by a thousand slices. You know what I mean? Like, people will get endocrine problems. People will get diabetes. People will have heart problems before they have heart disease. Things that they don't see. We're going to be slowly affected. It's not an immediate catastrophic event. Like the fish, okay? The fish population is down, but there's a combination of reasons why the fish are down. It's not just from Fukushima. I think Fukushima kind of put us over the edge, but they're finding fish. They just happen to have cancer in them. Like,
Well,
if you
Lonnie,
can't fish.
I think you might actually find that quite a number of doctors would agree that heart disease is an epidemic. It's the biggest killer. And what is the heart is directly affected by what comes out of nuclear reactors. Now, isn't it curious, from my perspective, that you have, let's say, cancer, which is also a big killer and it is an epidemic, is occurring in children that are very young, leukemia in five-year-olds. Never heard of. This is something that comes from the nuclear pollution over 70 years.
That's
that goes
right
into the bone marrow. It accumulates in the environment, and dilution is something that suggests it dissipates. No, it's being dispersed, not diluted. It's being dispersed, and it'll sit in pockets, and it'll sit in hot spots, and it'll sit in places where you and I may not go, but a lot of tuna swims through it. And of course, all the microorganisms are affected immediately by one atomic particle, and they're finished. I mean, we can resist one atomic particle, but a bit of plankton, what's plankton going to do when it comes next to an atomic particle?
Think about what the amount of atomic particles we put into our environment during the testing era. I mean, it is unconscionable when we really think about what happened in our recent history. And I actually think that has a lot
about,
to
Bonnie?
Do.
What do you think that was about? When you go behind intent, just to prove that we can make a bigger one, like
it's like John Goffman said in this reading, they were very careless with the radium and the radioactive waste. He had lots of exposure in this reading that I did last night. He was talking about how he had lots of exposure. He knew it was dangerous. He knew they sort of just poo-pooed it. They didn't really think it was that big of a deal. Yeah, you were being exposed, but you know, everybody dies eventually, and it'll get you when you're old. Who cares what happens to you when you're old? I think that's the idea, is that yeah. And I think it was just a complete disregard.
They were personally convinced that what they were witnessing was not really serious. That's what you think? These people actually believed it was not as serious as what it
an exposure is. Yeah, I think that's in fact what happened to John Goffman when he first got involved. He did not understand. In fact, Busby says he disagrees with Goffman. One of the things he's discovered is the internal radiation. A lot of Goffman's work, in fact, is on the external radiation, right? Not of it is on the internal. And the internal is much more dangerous than the external in lots of ways. So it's much more insidious. But Goffman was talking about in the early years, they really were very disrespectful, like very careless with who got exposed and how much they had. Like, you know, Oppenheimer took a gram of radium with him in his pocket. He took it with him. He carried it with him. And everybody along the path near him was getting infected. Think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, they had no regard, and they were just completely arrogant and really believed that they could manage whatever. They didn't understand the long-term effects of it. And yet, what I'm attempting to do is comprehend how people like the Natural Resource Defense Fund can work with the state of Illinois to keep two ailing nuclear power plants that are leaking open so that they can shut down coal plants. To me, that's the greater offense. It's like we have so-called environmentalists, like we talked about James Hansen a bit, you know, who's out there saying nuclear's clean, green, and safe. We need to really push for nuclear. But, you know, he comes from what, Columbia University, where they're all backed by the nuclear industry. I mean, we're being sold down the river on this nuclear stuff. And it is up to us to get educated. It is up to us. I was, before you came on, I was reading the nuclear alerts because I had to figure out something to do real quick. So I went to the nuclear alerts.
I apologize, Lonnie. We were actually, this was a date. You said the 5th was when we're going to talk. Oh, jeez. I looked, I'm just
a
lonely
artist. It was a date
you
suggested.
I'm just a lonely artist who is like running back and forth between, you know, one wall and the other wall in my studio.
That's awesome. I see all the paintings missing in the background. I'm on Skype and I have the camera on. And every time Tom and I talk on Skype, his paintings, what Tom does is he puts his paintings, he tapes them to the wall, which is pretty interesting.
With the tax.
Yes, so they're all gone. So those are all in the show.
Yes, they all went out. I had them framed and they're all ready to go. But here's my thought process, Lonnie. What I really dislike is having to defend this position over and over and over Everything's been proven. So here's my strategy in terms of how I work. And we all have our expertise and our strengths and our abilities. And my ability as a painter is something where I seduce people into my way of thinking. Even though, let's say I make a painting, and at first it's kind of, actually some people feel they're unpleasant and ugly. I don't know why. I don't make that distinction anymore. It's like after having been around art for so long, I don't look at things I like and dislike really anymore, or beautiful or ugly. I find that highly overrated. I gauge my excitement level about something, and I don't try to say, well, it's beautiful or it's ugly or it's controversial, it's this or that. I just go with this excitement feeling that I have about something. And this is what I feel we need to generate as a community in other people around us. The excitement that we can transfer onto someone else. Not like, oh, it's really bad, and you got to go, or you got to get all the information. No, I mean, the information is all out there. I can't help there. But what I can do is create this excitement in another person. And I'm going to see what happens on this show, because I'm really stepping into it by calling it Age of Fission paintings, or fission paintings, I called them. And there is going to be a backlash. I've had phone calls already about the article that was written about me and said, Tom, why are you doing this? You're going to really shoot yourself in the foot, especially in a town that is run by the chemical industry. It's the biggest chemical producer in North America outside of Texas. So I got nothing to lose. I mean, I honestly don't feel, in the sense of life and what we're facing, the struggle. We really, what do we have to lose if we risk? Honestly, right? Right? I know you feel this way. So here's my thought, Lonnie, and I'm kind of going off. And I thought about this because I might have an interview. I got contacted by the national radio outfit, CBC, here, and they're fudging around. They don't know whether to take me seriously or not. And the guy contacted me at CBC. He's the an afternoon show for an interview. It's going to be interesting if they pull this one off. I don't know if the editors are, anyway, that's a whole other thing. I don't want to get into it too much. But the excitement that I feel still, considering what we're under, the yoke, this oppressive idea that we're being killed by this invisible toxic material, this is such a burden on my psyche every day. So what I try to do is I elevate myself into that which I am. It's a calling. I mean, I've been doing it 45 years, so it's got to be something that I'm really determined to fulfill in some form or other. And the way I feel about this, Lonnie, is that if I'm excited about something, it's likely through my work, somebody else may also get excited about something. And I think that's our foot in the door, Lonnie. You excite people with your production, what you do, right? It's not what you tell people per se. It's how you act as a person that's powerful, that has an impact, impacts on me. And you can tell me stuff and I'll take it in. But ultimately, what really affects us is the transmission of this. I don't know what is that. That is like it has no barriers, this thing. There is no blocking.
Well,
when you're
Tom,
getting
our thoughts are things. That's the issue, is our thoughts are things. What you're not what you think you are, but what you think you are. Right? So there's a huge difference, the nuance in language, and there's a huge nuance in what we tell ourselves. Like, I am not a doom and gloomer. I don't think the planet is going to be shit canned in 10 years. I've been thinking about that a lot. Yeah, you know, this whole idea that it's all over. In fact, I heard a scientist, his name was Hakeem Aluzumi, I think, or something like that. But on C-SPAN yesterday, and he was a physicist, and he cavalierly said, well, you know, the way we're going to have to save humanity is to get off of this planet, and we're working on that at Columbia Generating, Columbia University. And I'm like, what? And he's talking to a bunch of students at a university, like telling them cavalierly, we have to abandon the planet in order to save humanity. Like, what the heck? They need to be putting their brains into solving the pollution that they've created on our planet. That's really, I believe there's solutions. We can turn the ship around, but when we have
That is outrageous. Outrageous.
I'm actually planning on sending him an email, to be honest. Like, I'm going to send him an email and tell him, do you realize how, and he said that's the problem with their current plans, is they realize they can't get enough people off the planet.
Well, actually, Lonnie, they can't get themselves off the planet in the last 40 years. The moon landing, supposedly. Why haven't they gone back? I wonder about that. And if you remember that experiment in the desert, they built a bubble that was supposedly self-contained, producing its own oxygen. They had a little flap door that they shoved pizzas and hamburgers in for the people living in it. So, you know, where are you going to get the little pizza flap on Mars or wherever the hell you want to go? You're not going to make it. It's not going to work. It's a fantasy. It's the Elon Musk fantasy of ridiculousness. Get this sorted out. You know, maybe in 5,000 years or longer, we might have some way of going somewhere else. Who knows? But we got to sort out this thing first.
I thought that was the ultimate irresponsible statement of the planet.
Terrible.
You know, like, really?
Terrible.
But yet, that was a window into their mindset as to why they're just allowing. And the idea is that we need all of this. We have to have it. We have to have all this energy. You know, that whole paradigm that we need to live in this type of culture that we're currently living in for humanity to survive is such a false paradigm. We don't need it. And we
Isn't
can't
that a
get
priority?
Through the winter.
Isn't that actually, in terms of a worldview, not to attack from the back end, but the front end, to actually say, of all the things that could be, why is it this way? In order for us to change, there is this fundamental notion that change will never happen unless we actually ask ourselves, why are we living the way we're living? It's not like making arguments about what's necessarily what's worse, what's better. It's just to ask ourselves, who are we and why are we the way we are? Do we have to be this way? So if I suffer, am I in pain or something? I think you're right. Our thoughts actually create the reality in many ways. But I find that if we could just make that leap, that little leap, like it, when I make a painting, I take a leap because I'm working like to see the wall, there's nothing on it, right? So what happens? In order for me to be able to produce a mark, I have to have a leap. It's kind of like a leap of faith. I have to say, I'm going to trust myself to be able to produce something, and I'm not decorating for anybody. I am not a decorator. So what I want to produce is something that has value to you, that you can chew on when you see it, not just lets you sit back and say, oh, isn't that nice? And if you want to think it's nice, that's fine. But I want to give you something to chew on. So that is the fundamental step, the first step. We have to take a leap of faith to trust ourselves we can produce something of value. And not just regurgitate what we have told. You know, culture is like a complete, total regurgitation all the time. It's a culture of death. I call it the culture of death because it doesn't reinforce this fundamental notion within each individual. Just look at the toddlers when they pick up a paintbrush or a marker and they externalize the unspoken things. It is brilliant. I mean, kids doing this stuff on a piece of paper, they're actually visualizing something they can't express any other way. It's just magnificent. We have this ability, and that's why I paint. I mean, if I could do anything else better, I'd do it, but haven't found it yet.
Well, I think it's about following that internal guide. That's the issue. And this is what they have worked on at least for the last 70 years and really for the last 200 years that we know of in this country. In this country, they have done nothing but suppress. It's been murder, death, kill. And I think we're coming to the point where that's not good enough anymore. People are not going to allow it. This is why we have the Standing Rock. You know, there's thousands of people out there still
right.
in the dead of
right.
winter.
Courageous.
They're not taking it. They're not taking it. And they're saying, you know what? Yeah, we can live out in the middle of the cold. Humanity has done this for a long time. We don't need what you have to offer. Thanks, but no. And that's what we need to say with the nuclear industry. And on Twitter, you know, I've been doing this Twitter thing to engage these nuclear people, because I think if we can convert them one person at a time, we can turn the tide. I'm constantly bombarded with, you guys are crazy. It's, you know, cleanest. This is the safest. It produces more than this. And I'm like, even if all of that is true, there is no solution for the waste. We cannot keep piling it up on ourselves. The waste, every single operating nuclear power plant produces 1,000 Chernobyls potentially. Every single one.
So how do you convert? How do you convert somebody who makes a paycheck from endorsing the procedure? And I say, you know what I say? You know what I say? This is so simple and brilliant. Is they buy a painting and it goes up in price, and the painting is about them being converted. That's what I'm making paintings on. I'm saying convert to my side. I want you to believe in what I'm doing. And you know what? You're gonna make money. Because once, like, Vincent never sold a painting in his life. Imagine, you know, anybody that has a Vincent Van Gogh now, you know how much money they would get? If that's their mentality about value, that they get a lot of money, this would be very sexy, actually, in terms of accomplishing it, that to seduce people on whatever level they want to be seduced on, whether it's the spiritual excitement they get from looking at something or saying to themselves, you know what? This guy's got something here. I want to be part of that. I can make a buck on it. You know, whatever it takes, I don't care. Honestly, Lonnie, I really don't care what it is that people decide is important to them, as long as they come over to our side. Really, that's ultimately the objective. And I don't have any rules around that.
And our side means ending the nuclear industry, nuclear war industry.
Number one, Lonnie, number one, we got to shut these things down. They cannot continue to produce what they're producing for infinity, for you and me and life on this planet. It's infinity what they're producing. So we got to shut them down and come up with the brilliance, which is out there, to fix what we've done. So the last 70, 80 years of malpractice, it may take 100 or 200 years to fix this. But that's what you and I feel are starting. We're starting a movement to actually reorient our psyches into something, whether you want to call it sustainable or whatever. All those slogans, whatever works for you. I'm saying, in order for us to survive, we need to fundamentally change our entire being, our psyche, towards a life-oriented position. And whatever it takes, and if art works, and if science works, and if religion works, and if Nike works, I don't care. Whatever it is, we got to head toward that road. That's where we got to go from now. And we got to shut these monsters down. And I agree with you on the blame thing, by the way. We can't get anywhere by blaming people. It's not going to work. They'll just shut it down.
Yeah,
right?
And it doesn't. And the thing is, blame looks backwards. Responsibility looks forward. Right.
Okay, so I always learn something when I listen to you. I always learn something when I listen to you. Okay.
I'm full of this stuff. I read every self-help book in the entire world, and I made notes. In fact, I made little placards to hang around my whole house of these affirmations. So I'm full of this stuff.
Okay.
But it's true. Blame looks backwards. Responsibility looks forward. Right. So it's really important. And then this is another one that's really important for people to think about. Worry is like a rocking chair. Gives you something to do, but doesn't get you anywhere. This is really where people are at.
You're going to have to write a book or something. Yeah.
I've read books. It's all already in books. I picked it out.
Yeah. No, synopsize all the axioms we need for the future. Yeah.
Yeah, this is it. I mean, these are our guiding principles, right? So it's important for us to take the cue from the universe. We talked about this on my radio show yesterday with Carol. The cue, we ask God, whatever you want to call God, we ask for guidance, we want help, but he doesn't write us a check. He gives us ideas. Like, you come to work every day and you do your paintings. You act. You take action. It's more than just, this is how it is. You are in, when we act in accordance with what our what these little guides that we're being given, we're participating. We're a cog in the wheel that's turning. If we refuse, this is why the drug addiction and the people who sit in front of their televisions and refuse to get active and say, there's nothing I can do and I'm just going to go watch the television. The reason they're the problem is they are the cog in the wheel. They're refusing to be part of the solution by turning off the signals that they're given. Everyone's given signals on action we can take. None of us are going to, there might be millions of people who will never, ever participate in stopping the nuclear. However, they might stop coal. They might do different things. They might pick up the mantle. Like my friend Charlotte, I did a pre-recorded interview. I'm going to be putting it up soon about the necessity and how microbes work, the necessity of how the earth is, it is possible for us to regenerate the earth using the gifts that we already have on the planet, but we have to implement them. We have been held back from progressing as a society, as a culture, by the culture of death. I think you're absolutely right. That's exactly what it's been. It's been the culture of death.
And the people that have a romance with the Grim Reaper in this culture, which is what you see over and over in popular culture, you see death imagery everywhere. And I call it a romance with the Grim Reaper. And the people that you reflect on sitting and not getting out of their chairs, they don't know they're sitting on their chairs. They haven't had an alternative presented in their life. Maybe they had a difficult whatever circumstance they had. We need to present alternatives to what it is they're going through, right?
That's right.
So to say, you're just a bunch of dumbasses, you know, get up out of your chair, that's not going to work. What will happen is the example that you or someone else is able to give a person to make them feel they don't want to be the way they are. And this is why I like, you know, I enjoy teaching when I did for a short period of time, but it took too much energy. I love the idea of people becoming excited about their own ability to do something that I didn't say what they needed to do. They just started to realize, hey, I can do this. I can actually, whatever it is that I was passing on, they'd see a painting, let's say, and kind of like it. And then they started to feel what it means to actually be excited about having seen it and doing it themselves. That's what I feel we got to do. We got to excite people to want to live differently than they're living, and blaming them isn't going to help.
And to embrace it and to give them, really, I've encountered people who are just so depressed, they don't want to, they just want to isolate. But really, the idea is there's plenty of life to live. The world has not ended. Whatever life we have left, we're here to enjoy it and participate, not to feel death, doom, and gloom. We're here to express our love.
We got to fix this, Lonnie. We're on our watch. We got to fix this. We got to rally together to fix this. One person isn't going to do it. We're not going to have some savior coming off from Mount Olympus to fix this. We got to fix this. We got in all, everybody has their part. We all have our part to just even the slightest thing of helping somebody get up that is down and out. You know, somebody feels depressed. Well, you go and give them a hug or whatever it takes. That's how we fix this.
We do
one person at a time, doing whatever it is that we can. And some people have the ability to generate more energy and excitement about something, but it's really important each person somehow feeling in themselves that they made a contribution every day, even in the smallest way. We got to fix this. We got to shift from this culture of death and stop having a romance with the Grim Reaper.
Amen to that. That physicist, by the way, he works for, it's hilarious. He actually is a physics and science space in Florida at the, his name is astrophysicist Hakeem Olusui, Olusui. So he's already planning on abandoning the planet. That's his life's work.
Elon Musk should put him on the
we'll
his
move
next
on flight. Hey, look, we have got 30 seconds left, Tom. You have been listening to Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show, sharing the show with Thomas Ackerman. Thank you, Tom, for joining us. Do you want to tell people really quick? We have about 15 seconds.
My show is starting tomorrow evening in Sarnia, Ontario. It's not too far from Detroit. It's at the Imperial Theater, and it's running until February the 30th. They extended my stay. So,
please go out there, put your courage feet on, take action, you guys. Remember that love is greater than fear. Happiness is resistance.